Welcome to Caribbean Millennials.
Hey guys, welcome back to episode 2.
We made it.
Yes, we're still on the air. They haven't kicked us off yet.
They haven't got rid of us yet.
It's another one.
Right.
Well, this is episode 2, guys. You know, thanks for the support on the internet.
All the feedback, all the suggestions. We're going to take them all. And we're going to work on the show. We're going to make it better. This is going to be a show for you, the people. I know it sounds like politics, but it's not.
I really wasn't expecting like that big of a response, to be honest. Like, I mean, it took me by surprise.
Yes.
So again, thank you guys. Yep.
So now we're even more dedicated to not letting you guys down and continuing to deliver quality content.
Vernon has committed for a second week, guys. You know, give Vernon a round of applause. He's there. He's here.
I haven't left yet.
Operative word yet. But we loved all the feedback. We're still open for it. So if you have any suggestions, topic ideas, interview ideas for us, please let us know and send us your feedback at info@caribbeanmillennials.com or through any of our social media channels. So y'all ready to start with news?
Yeah.
So a couple items had this week. RBC is to become the first bank in the Caribbean to offer contactless payment. So they are going to be enabling tap and pay capability on point of sale devices in the region. So definitely a step up and a step in the right direction.
Allowing people to make use of those features that their phones have.
Yep.
Because, I mean, a lot of these phones have those features and people don't really have this to make use of it in the Caribbean. So that's a step in a good direction.
Yep. Definitely.
Yeah. And you know, one-to-one bank starts to do this.
Yes.
Yeah, I hope others, you know, follow suit and pick it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, definitely. That'll be good for the Caribbean. And could even have good implementation with your bus ideas, you know.
Exactly. Do you see?
Maybe they listen to you,
baby. They listen.
Okay, another news item this week is the Bahamas is to pay 60% more in VAT.
60%? Wow.
Yeah, so from the beginning of next month, Bahamians will be paying significantly more in value-added tax. It will increase from 7.5% to 12%.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then they were... Effective of August 1st, they're eliminating VAT on all bread basket items, with the exception of sugar, as sugar will, for health reasons, be removed from the bread basket item. So that's interesting that they're taking that strong kind of health standpoint on things like sugar.
Yeah, let's call it health.
Do you have something more to say?
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, this reminds me of the plastic bag epidemic.
That's what you call an epidemic.
Starting to take hold in the Caribbean where you have to pay for plastic bags.
Oh, you mean the war on plastic bags?
Yeah, for environmental
equities.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I have to say.
Yeah. But, you know, that's definitely always kind of a shaker. Any increase in VAT is really a shaker for an economy, for cost of living.
So here's my, I wonder if they're increasing VAT. Are they increasing people's salaries?
I'm just
curious.
I cannot speak to that in detail, but you know, just a headline item that's coming for.
Based on history, VAT will increase 60% and people will get a decrease in salary.
Okay.
Yeah, but all our Bahamians out there, let us know how you feel.
Stay strong.
Another news item, CARICOM met this week to discuss ICT.
Another meeting.
Yep, another meeting.
Let's hope something happens after this one.
And fun fact, they said they're hoping to now meet twice a year.
More meetings to
discuss ICT. They said at least twice a year to discuss how the regional ICT agenda can be advanced. ICT, for those who don't know, what is it again? It's information, communications, and technology?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's what it is. But basically tech, right? That's the ICT space. and they're working for CARICOM, they're working on a single ICT space.
Okay.
Which means basically the digital layer of CSME.
Okay.
So their hope is to harmonize ICT and other legislative, the legal action for ICT across the different islands, the removal of roaming charges, encouragement of digital entrepreneurship, equipping all citizens, and looking at ICT financial solutions, among other regional benefits.
Okay.
So at least that's the plan or the framework. How long it will take to actual implementation is another story, but at least we know.
Nonetheless, that's a step in the right direction.
Right, right. That roadmap for the single ICT space was approved by the CARICOM heads of government in February of 2017. So I guess now they're trying to work against their roadmap, and that's why they want to have more meetings, I guess, to kind of push it forward, right?
Okay.
Because even if we say all these governmental organizations, all this is meetings. It's also kind of difficult when everyone...
And I mean, you're talking about you trying to implement something across multiple islands.
Uh-huh.
I guess it's not something you can make happen overnight. But like I said, it's a step in the right direction. At least they recognize that it's something that needs to be done, and they're willing to meet to try to work to make it happen. So, I mean, fingers crossed we see something, you know, soon. Something happening on that front.
Right. But even, you know, for all of those entrepreneurs or like tech people out there, just kind of to know that's kind of where things are moving, or for something to look out for or follow.
That's exciting stuff.
Yeah. So those were kind of our regional news tidbits. Something else that happened this week was the suicides with Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain. Both, you know, more or less celebrities, successful people in the U.S. And I think what we kind of saw it bring to light was, even if you're successful or things are seemingly okay on the outside, that, you know, people,
you don't know what's going on the inside.
Yeah, and people struggle with depression, and, you know, a lot of people may not, it's not clear.
I saw someone tweet earlier this week, after the Kate Spade thing, and it was basically saying, you know, check on your strong friend.
Yeah.
You know that one friend that always seems strong, and you have to just, you know, check on them, because it's easy for someone to put up a front and, you know, act all tough, but, you know, they could have a lot going on.
Yeah.
So check on your strong friends.
Yeah. You know, depression and suicide don't discriminate. So
yes.
Oh, yes.
I think just to be aware of that, right?
Makes me very concerned, because these are two individuals that were, for all intents and purposes, very successful. They lived in the America, and, you know, lots of access to doctors and therapists.
True.
And, you know, mental wellness. And in the Caribbean, we really kind of don't have that, you know. If you have suicidal thoughts, you know, it's like a slap behind your head, you know, beat yourself. Like, you know. Our mental health kind of mindset is very worrying. So I worry how many people in the Caribbean
are going through that,
or of Caribbean descent, you know, are like going through similar things, and they don't know how to deal with it or where to go to. So, you know,
true.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of ended on a little, you know, the news section ended on a little contemplative note, but I think still something like important. We still want to bring to you guys, you know, things that kind of challenge you. And,
Exactly.
You know, it's not all about, you know, the
fun, fits, you know, wildness. You know,
well, on that note, we can start with this week's topic, which...
Reddit's head again. It's something that comes up time and time again.
There's
going to
be some wildness in this episode. I see it already. I'm like...
Wow. I hope the episode is as wild as you make it seem. But yeah, it's
you
a topic.
Expectation.
I take it back.
But it's a topic that I see keeps coming up on Twitter time and time again.
Yes. So what is it, Brennan?
No, but I mean, I'm just saying, what do you guys think about it?
The topic?
People identifying as Caribbean.
Yeah, so...
For all intents and purposes.
I guess the backstory of kind of how we got there for this episode is we were originally planning on speaking about something similar, you know, about how you interpret home or define home, because as Caribbean millennials, we're, you know, we may be from somewhere but live somewhere else, but you have that emotional connection to whatever you deem as home. However, when we were kind of on Twitter this week and, you know, looking at different conversations, and even from the feedback you guys sent, people asked us, you know, well, we see you talking about Caribbean millennials, but are you only talking about, is this podcast only for Caribbean millennials, like, from the Caribbean, mm-hmm. right? Or
Like, who is your target audience?
Right. And for us, we want to be an inclusive space for anybody of Caribbean culture, heritage, anyone who kind of identifies as a Caribbean millennial. But I think there's a bigger conversation here that we've kind of seen from online as how do you identify as just being Caribbean, right? Or what are the different ways that you can identify as being Caribbean?
Yeah, true.
Because there's this whole kind of thing of like, you know, people who maybe were born in the Caribbean or not, but have Caribbean parents who claim that, yes, I'm Caribbean. And for those of us who were born and raised there, there's that kind of battle with like, no, you're not Caribbean enough. But, you know, identity is kind of a twofold in that you have to identify personally as something, but your identity also needs to be recognized by other people.
Yes.
So we'll kind of dive into the nitty gritty of that topic this episode. So, I mean, first of all, right, what kind of makes up identity, right? And I have down here culture, language, gender, family, friends, the media, interests and hobbies, city, town, community, country, traditions and celebration. Right? Do y'all feel like there's anything else that, you know, kind of makes up identity?
No, I think I go along. You know?
Yeah, but I think that's
Are the main ones.
Right. So kind of just, you know, as I said, those things, we're kind of going to touch on them as we go through. So just think of those as different components of, you know, your identity or how somebody would identify themselves, right? So I'm going to take over from here.
Sure. Are we starting with culture, right?
Yeah. I mean, let's just go.
Yeah. So I think the culture plays a huge part in it, right? Because that's basically how you get your mannerisms. That's attribution to your accent, your how you behave,
your beliefs.
Mm-hmm. You know, like even what kind of religion you follow. Mm-hmm. You know, like the culture is really like a good foundation of like your overall identity. Because if you grew up in Caribbean culture, you're gonna have one identity. If you grew up in the West Coast of America in California, you're probably going to have a totally different identity. That's not to say you're not both or you're not, you know, Caribbean in any way, but that's two totally different identities that you could possibly have based on where you grew up, based on who you grew up around, and based on what was the culture that you were surrounded by.
Yeah, true.
So then what makes we even saw this kind of when we were looking at this topic, people, do they say Caribbean or West Indian? And let's just say it here, Caribbeans. It's not a thing.
Yeah,
It should not be. Oh my god, this old.
It should not be a thing. Caribbean. Hey guys, we're auditioning for a new host because Danny might get kicked off for saying Caribbeans.
Okay, fine, Caribbeaners.
Oh my god.
Can we just say West Indians?
West Indians or Caribbean people?
Okay. I feel like those two things are different. But okay.
How so?
I feel like Caribbean people includes everybody in the Caribbean. I feel like West Indian people are people from predominantly West Indian Caribbean countries or English-speaking Caribbean countries.
No, but then they also say French West Indies. So those are still West Indian.
Exactly.
Well, West Indian is different from Caribbean people.
Why? Because it has more pepper?
Yeah, exactly. Just a little bit more pepper.
To be settled later.
I feel like that's his own topic, but basically, you know, there's a cricket team. If your island not on that cricket team,
then you're not West Indian.
So then you're not West Indian. Okay, okay. I get your criteria.
It's more scientific than that. Yeah, but
yeah.
What if they're having people trying to make that cricket team, but they just...
Because, like, do you consider Cuba to be part of the West Indies?
Ooh.
But you consider Cuba to be part of the Caribbean?
Ah,
and this is why I'm on this show.
Okay, take that back. He's in this spot.
But I feel like, I mean, don't you all feel like the French side integrates more with the West Indian thing than
culture and heritage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it goes back to that language component of identity.
Okay.
Right?
Yes, it does, definitely. And also, I think the French Caribbean islands are kind of geographically a lot closer to the other English Caribbean islands.
Yeah.
But, if you look at the Lesser Antilles, are there any, Spanish-speaking Caribbean islands in the... Yeah, but they're, like, French islands, so few islands, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the Dutch Antilles is near Trinidad and Venezuela.
Now, are they West Indian?
I would consider them West Indian. So, honestly, my take on it is that the West Indian countries kind of have a tighter bond.
Okay.
Right? Like Cuba and Dominican Republic.
Ooh, okay. So, Haiti versus Dominican Republic, one of them West Indian and one of them not.
Well... Hey. Oh boy.
Shout out to our DR and Haitian
listeners.
Friends right now.
You know?
Getting hot in here. Wipe the sweat off my brow.
Are you gonna take a strong pass on that question?
I will say because of the kinda French dialect and Creole and patois, like Haiti is kinda considered like a West Indian country, whereas Hispanic country is kind of not as
alright. So you really that French language being part of it is really a main component for you.
Yeah, because I feel like majority of the Caribbean islands have that. We speak this language, and then we have this other side language.
Do you also feel like it's also potentially more of the racial component of the Haitian Dominican up also in that, you know, Dominican Republic is maybe more closer aligned to Hispanic, right?
The black, all right.
No, I don't disagree with that.
All right.
I mean, the culture is different, but we're all the same people.
But I mean, yes, I mean, they are.
Because I've seen plenty Haitian people that look like they're from, like, Dominican Republic or Cuba.
But I think,
and then I've seen very dark-skinned Cubans and Dominican Republic people couldn't tell the difference.
I'm not saying no at all, but I'm saying the percentage breakdown of race is closer to some of the other islands.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I don't think the racial plays a major part, even though in many of the Caribbean countries or West Indian countries, black is the predominant race, but I don't know. I think it's just like a culture that has developed over time that we consider these countries to be West Indian, and then the Caribbean is the overarching, you know,
set of islands. Final answer is Dominican Republic.
No.
Okay. So y'all have settled geographically where is considered Caribbean, where is West Indian, and whatnot. So, all right. To keep us on topic and on task, I have a question for you. All right, it's a scenario, and you're just going to tell me if the person is Caribbean or not.
Okay.
All right.
Are there prizes?
There should be.
I'm broke. All right. Your prize is my friendship.
Also, if y'all want to answer Willen's questions in tweets and share with us, we
please
can continue.
Yes. Also, let us know how you stand on the Caribbean versus West Indian debate.
All right.
And
so,
then we'll probably delve into that deeper in a future episode.
Yeah.
So here's my question. My mother and father, they born in Grenada. Okay. Mm-hmm. My mother and father up and they move to Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
They have me as a child and they raise me.
Okay. And then they give you a broom.
Why you had to bring that up? Sorry, Cleveland Cavs fans. You know what Danny's getting at. Sweep. But still, yeah. So, you have me in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Do you consider me Caribbean?
Caribbean American?
Do you consider me Caribbean? They raised me with all the culture and stuff that they know from Grenada and whatnot. Do you consider me Caribbean? Or am I an American who just has Caribbean roots?
Two. Let's take that
one. So, somebody who's born and raised in Grenada is
they were born in Grenada?
Yes.
No, you were saying
they moved. They moved.
No, I'm asking your question. The person born and raised in Grenada is more Grenadian than me. Just because I wasn't born and raised in Grenada.
Yes.
Okay. It doesn't matter that I was raised by two Grenadians in the Grenadian culture. It just so happened that I was.
You have points of reference of Grenadian culture, but like, where were they born?
Cleveland, Ohio. A random place.
They were born in Cleveland. Mm. They're diaspora, right? Is that the diaspora? Considered diaspora?
I believe the parents. We'll have to do some research on that.
But nonetheless.
But I don't agree.
The dispersion of
you don't agree?
I don't agree.
So Anushka say the person is Caribbean American.
Uh-huh.
And you say what?
I see they just as Caribbean.
Okay, so now I want to hear why they just as Caribbean, and I want you to tell me why you think they're not just as Caribbean.
Just so y'all know, Villain is the most opinionated about this. So him pitting me and Danny against each other is
Puppet Master. You're about to make me the most hated person on the internet just yet. I need to say that for like other topics.
My reasoning, right, is this.
Okay.
You don't have any control over where you're born, right?
All
right. But you have control over how much you accept the culture that you kind of want to be born into.
Okay.
Right? So if you have two very Grenadian parents, right?
Yeah.
And they had you in Cleveland, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Right? And you grew up with Grenadian values, Caribbean values, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you were even in a Caribbean community in Cleveland, Ohio. You know?
Well, Lord, I didn't say that. I know you are that Caribbean.
No.
I think Cleveland, Ohio for a specific reason, because I guarantee you will not find no Grenadians in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh.
Ask us if you're a Grenadian in Cleveland, Ohio.
That's what I'm doing.
You don't know that for
come
sure.
Out of the woodwork if you're in Cleveland, Ohio. Let me know.
Right? There could be some, you know, Grenadian community in Cleveland, Ohio that you don't know about, and it's like, you know, about 20 Grenadians on the same street. Or okay. 20 Caribbean people on the same street, okay. Right? And your next door neighbor is Mrs. Boape, and she does look after you when your parents go on long vacations, you know.
Okay.
And the neighbor across the street saw you missing school, which is like skipping class. And then she told your parents, you know, and then all three of them beat you in their backyard.
All three of them?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's kind of very Caribbean,
that's a
kind
right? Initiation, right? They jumped right?
And then on the other side, you could have been born in Grenada. You could not have Grenadian parents.
Yeah, right? But that's the next one I'm going to issue with. I was going to issue with that. Nah, you can't jump to that. I will give you that scenario in a while. You can't jump to
one
that one
scenario here. At a time.
Okay, well, I consider that person born in America, right?
To
Grenadian parents. Right? To be a Caribbean person. Now, the variation as to how... Yeah,
okay.
As to how Caribbean you are or how Grenadian you are, going to be how you were brought up in, if you're brought up in the culture, maybe how often you went to Grenada to visit.
Alright,
now before Anushka hop in and explain herself, I want y'all to know I disagree for that. Alright? This is my controversial statement coming in right now. I do not care. You know, you are Caribbean American. Do not claim that island like you were there from the inception. You Caribbean American, okay? That is my stance
now,
on it.
Your stance wrong.
In fact, no. You can claim the island. You can claim it, but don't claim it harder than the people that are from it.
Ooh. So then you have a level of hardness you can claim.
Yes, we have a level of hardness.
What is 100% and like what is like?
We will get to that. Because I want Anushka to explain why the person is Caribbean American to her.
So the person is Caribbean American to me because they were born in America, and while they have the nurturing and the values or whatever the Caribbean parents, the amount of time and the amount of things they're exposed to outside of just the home is
greater.
America.
Exactly.
Now, I know, you know, I don't, I wouldn't say there's a greater, I don't know what the percentage breakdown is because that differs by person. But the fact that you have both frames of reference, that to me says you're not just Caribbean based on your parents, you're American based on your experience and frame of reference.
Yeah, so you cannot identify with just one. You have to identify with both. Exactly.
Yes. So that's
my thing. Because it's like, it's like, me and you, we move away from home, but like it or not, I will always identify with St. Lucia. I am St. Lucian. End of story.
But Vernon, right?
Uh-huh.
The identity issue. You could be born in St. Lucia, and you could go abroad, and you could totally lose your identity.
Yeah, but that's your choice at that point. You decide to not identify St. Lucia anymore.
Exactly. So you could be born in America and choose to identify with your country.
So hold on.
More than somebody that was born in
China. Hold on. So what you're telling me now, none of my parents from the Caribbean, I white, I live in Boston, and I can decide, I identify with St. Vincent.
Can I say one word?
What?
Drake.
There we go.
Okay. Alright. I check what you're saying. Fine.
Well, we've been reasonable.
But remember we said the two components of the identity is like self-identifying, but also your identity being recognized as by somebody else, right?
Okay.
So while Drake may think he's
Jamaican
or whatever.
I blame the Jamaicans who let him think.
Also, I have a video on this as to why Drake speaks like he's a Jamaican. This will be included in the show notes.
Okay. You have one for DJ Khaled too?
You have to. DJ Khaled is a different individual though.
Oh,
because I know. But DJ Khaled not claiming to be Jamaican or anything.
But Drake not claiming to
be. But hold on. Uh-huh. DJ Khaled spent more time in Jamaica. DJ Khaled used to be a DJ for a lot of them Jamaican dancehall artists in Jamaica. So, okay. I'm not saying he allowed to claim it, but I'm saying if we had to pick between him and Drake, I would let him claim it over Drake.
Okay. So, but head on.
Drake and Popcorn.
The whole thing about Drake, though, the summary of the thing was Drake, you know, grew up in Canada. Where he grew up was a Jamaican neighborhood within Canada. So he kind of, would you say then that's kind of like growing up in a Jamaican community?
It could be.
And then wherever
depending on how Jamaican they were.
Right, well, and then sure. Whenever...
I just saw T. Drake take popcorn off the chair. Really and truly, that's what it was. You had the man on the radio, but when it's time for you to put out the album, you take the man off the track. Alright?
So then it's
moving on. No tangents here today. Alright?
But I don't think that's not... But okay, we can come back.
We can come back. Yeah.
So where are we going? Where are we going now? What?
Okay. So, Adani. Alright? My mother and father. Right?
You're really bringing them into this.
Okay, fine. Anushka, mother and father.
Oh.
They German.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Uh-huh.
They moved to Antigua.
Okay. Boom. Uh-huh.
She was born in Germany, but they bring her there.
Mm-hmm.
They raise her in Antigua.
But
can she claim she's Antigua?
She could, but would she want to?
Okay, so she's doing that.
Why would you say she wouldn't want to?
I mean, the number of like foreign nationals in our Caribbean communities, Chinese, Taiwanese, Germans, English, and they just claim their own identity. They don't claim to be British Caribbean.
I don't agree with
people.
That.
They don't claim to be German, Caribbean.
I wouldn't agree with that.
No, but I'm not saying that they turn down the culture. I just say they still prefer to be German.
So you say it's not a choice thing?
I say they claim both.
Some of them don't.
Because, I mean, on the parent side, leaving Germany was a choice.
Okay.
So there's something that they liked, right, about where they chose to settle.
Or it was on,
on does work. But even so, it, I mean, taking a job somewhere else is a choice.
Okay.
Right? Even if someone wants to relocate you, if that doesn't work, you always have a choice. Right? And then if you stay there and raise your child there, right?
That's true. Another thing. Because they could have decided to leave their child with relatives back in Germany.
But I think how they associate as Antiguan or not is based on how much they as a family or the girl would immerse themselves in the Antiguan culture.
Exactly.
And how long she lives in Antigua. So let's say you're born in Germany, you live in Antigua up until you're 17 or 18 and your parents say, well, it's probably better for you to go to school in Germany now. Like, Germany is like a foreign land. Even if you have the culture, you know, from what your parents pass on to you, your entire frame of reference
is
Antigua.
True.
And I think there's also the thing of, well, what does it take to become a resident in the different countries or a citizen or whatever?
Get my passport now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. How much does this one going for now?
Don't worry about why I know these things. Just know I know these things.
I think it's more complicated than
but
that.
But what do you say about that scenario?
So Hella, because
I
heard a daddy say it's a choice, but I heard you saying it's not really a choice. But then I hear you all coming together and you're saying it's how much the person immerses themselves in the culture of that island that dictates whether they can claim that island, like they're from that island or not.
So can I drop the point here?
Okay.
So you know how there's kind of a divide between, okay, I'm Caribbean from the Caribbean, or I'm of Caribbean parentage, but saying like I'm from
the Caribbean country. Okay.
I think why side A gets upset about side B is because side B just takes kind of the references that they have as gospel.
Yes.
And doesn't necessarily immerse themselves past what was initially
told to them.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yes, I agree. I agree with you on that one. It's true. It's happened to me. I've ran into people who claim they're from an island, per se. But when you start asking them things, it's more of what their parents told them. Mm. It's like, I went back on vacation once in a while, but my parents are really from the island, and what I can tell you and what I like about the island is based on what my parents have told me and taught me.
Mm-hmm.
So I see what you say in there.
So like this is like a perfect case of that the Jamaican comedian's video.
Yeah.
Do you want to play that or?
We can link it in the show notes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see where y'all are coming from.
Okay.
Right. The problem I see, right, is that the parameters you're putting on it could easily be failed by people actually from that country, right? So you know how they test foreigners in America, and they test you to see if how much you know about America before you get your citizenship, right? But a lot of Americans that were born in America cannot pass the citizenship exam, right?
Okay.
So, by what you were saying there, right? Like, somebody referencing only what their parents told them, but then you could have people in that same island that don't even know, right? About those things at all.
Yeah, but here's my thing. You're talking about a test that they're giving people based on, like, historical facts.
But one and that kind of thing. Do they even do citizenship tests in the Caribbean?
But nonetheless,
I don't think so.
But nonetheless, I don't think you can test whether somebody is Caribbean based on being able to recite like written facts or something somebody tell them. I can test you and know how Caribbean you are, but if I tell you, if you know that shop down the road there in that area kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I know if you have any, you know, familiarity with that, that area.
But that person could have just came from the island and know all about that.
So you're telling me somebody can go to an island? You think somebody can go to an island in a short space of time? Let's just say summer. We're talking June to start of August and learn everything. Every square, every corner, every cabal, every hole.
I'm saying it's not impossible. Right? I went to Trinidad when I was younger for like about 3 weeks. And then like when I made Trinidadian friends, at school in USF, like I was name dropping all these places in Trinidad I've gone to. And you know, they were like, oh boy, like you almost a Trini. Like, you know, like what? Oh. You know about Arima and you know about the double Z. Like, oh. You know, I was like just, you know, name dropping things, you know? And like, yeah. And then they, now these people still my friends.
Or they were just indulging you because they could.
Nah. When somebody brings punchin for you from Trinidad,
they're not your friend.
Exactly.
Friends will bring that for friends.
But they really like it. They really like you. It's the two extremes.
They just don't like your liver. Yeah.
Okay.
So, okay. I think we like at an impasse.
Yeah, we really at an impasse.
So maybe as we continue going through our, you know, like breaking down the topic, we'll kind of start to answer some of these questions.
Yeah. So what's the next point? You know, let me give you my controversial, you know, because you think I'm going to be your controversial one there.
One of the topics was, can foreign-born and raised islanders be more in touch with their island roots than people, I guess, born and raised in the actual island? Well, my take on it, right, is that it is possible, but it is unlikely, right?
Yes, I agree with you on that one.
Like, somebody who spent all their time in an island kind of gonna be usually, nine times out of ten, don't quote me on that, going to be more in touch with the island roots if you live there and you have to survive there every day.
I feel like you have that one rare person who may stay indoors, don't go out much, don't socialize much.
Doesn't know what's going on.
And maybe they try to instill a culture that they see from somewhere else in their household. Maybe that would be the one off the anomaly. But I feel like you say, like nine times out of ten, someone who lives on that island and has to commute and move around and interact with people, I feel like they'd be more in touch with their roots.
Yeah. Now, I will say that people born in America and raised in America to Caribbean parents from that island, due to the advent of technology and, you know, traveling, they could be just as in touch with their roots at times as people actually from that island.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can research.
Now you could have somebody who going back every Christmas, every
chance nowadays,
they're going back and see the other relatives.
Exactly. Nowadays, like, you can have like a group chat with all your family members, and like you can basically keep in touch with all your foreign family members, talk to them. True. You know, if you're going down there every Christmas or every summer,
you carry things out for people.
Exactly. You know? So at that point, you know, you could be as in touch with your roots as somebody born there. But I think majority of the time, the person born there gonna have an advantage.
Yeah. Agreed on that one. I don't know. I think maybe part of the problem is that we in the Caribbean, we got it about people claiming the Caribbean. It's like you come to claim it, you have to prove why you claim it.
Well, it's almost like you left us. Mm-hmm. So
Why you want to come and claim it more than us?
Yeah. So then, is there like some kind of inherent jealousy?
It might be like while I was talking about it, I'm like, well, why is there this divide, right? Like, where did the divide kind of come from, right?
But is it jealousy? I wouldn't say it's jealousy. I don't think we in the Caribbean.
Is it jealousy or is it pride?
It's pride. That's what it is.
Maybe it's a little bit of both.
No, I think it's more pride. Because let me tell you something. When you see people repping the country, you've seen it. The fest they have, the flag, they almost have the country flag tattoo on themselves. Mm-hmm. They repping the country.
But I've seen people not born in the country doing that.
Those may be some of the people doing it the most, doing it more than us, right?
Exactly.
That's the people. I cannot say I've
been hoodwinked. Bamboozled?
Have you ever been in a fete with a flag?
Nope.
Okay.
First of all, you won't catch me in a fete with anything distinguishing.
But still, right? But there may be
Islanders.
True.
Born in America.
Or Canada.
Or raised in America and Canada.
England, you know that.
And they don't live anywhere without their flag. They always have it on them. They have like three different flag sizes.
You can have that one white friend that went back with you for a summer and now he's going to raise his ocean flag.
They could have that as well. But then he's not born and he's not really going to claim that he's Jamaican, right?
Yeah.
But he's not born there. But like, you know, is the usually the folks that not, right? A lot of times it's the folks that are not born in the island that have the flag on them all the time. They have the little window flag for the car.
Is it because their parents or their network instilled more national pride in them?
Okay. It could be that their network instilled more national pride in them. It could be.
Because I feel like when you
okay, guys, but now you're starting to say, if I don't have a flag, I have less pride than somebody
else.
That's what it's sounding
like
now.
These people tend to show out more than people that are actually from the island.
Yeah, but showing out more don't mean you have more national pride than me. So that's my thing, because you said, remember earlier you said there's a bit of jealousy.
What means
pride.
If you have more national pride?
I think it's more pride.
What dictates, like, how much national pride you have?
Why?
Like, what's the national pride equation?
Well, I think we've brought this up in a number of different ways in this thing, right? And I think what it's coming to is that we keep on trying to determine how Caribbean or not or national pride or whatever somebody is, but there's no real measurement or barometer for that, right? Mm-hmm. It's like it's the person feeling that way, but also us being, you know, accepting of somebody's identity, right?
Okay.
So, I mean, just this might be random, but let's say if I identify as transgender, right? It's and Danny's face. If I identify as transgender, like, that's the big fight right now for other people to acknowledge my identity as transgender.
No. Right now the fight is not acknowledging, because they acknowledge the transgender.
Not everybody.
It's accepting.
Well,
that's the issue.
But that goes hand in hand. Acknowledging and accepting.
You're going off topic, but okay.
No, but I don't think so.
No, because I hear what you say.
It's an identity thing.
I hear what you say. So what you say now is the people who want to claim that they're from the Caribbean, the issue is not with them, it's with the people who don't want to accept them.
Okay.
That's what we're saying now.
I think that's part of it.
So then how can we, as the ones who are not accepting, begin to accept or, you know, maybe be a little less, you know, like, yo, you're not from here. Like, cool out
and,
that
and
kind
I,
of thing.
I think that's the problem, right? Because I think it's always like a, oh, you're not from here. That's what the people on Twitter are calling them Caribbeans, right? Right?
Yeah, that's all.
They're calling them the Caribbeans.
The Caribbeans.
Okay. Because that's what they would say.
But it's true. That's what they would say.
They say Caribbeans,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. I see.
So that's admitting their lack of Caribbeanness.
Exactly. Right? So,
yeah,
I think it's very complicated, right?
It really is because
you're not even like talking about the real variations that it can be, right? Right now we were talking about born and raised in the Caribbean island, like Saint Kitts, and then we being born and raised in America, and then having Kittishan parents, right?
Yeah, but
you're
I
not,
also
you're not aspect, you're not like you're not seeing born and raised it, like born. In America, to Kittishan parents, grew up in St. Kitts.
Yeah.
And then you're not seeing born in St. Kitts, to Kittishan parents, grew up in America.
Well,
right?
here's another one, right? Born in Canada to St. Vincent and Grenadian parents.
Is that correct?
No. Born in Canada to a Grenadian parent and a Grenadian mother and Antiguan father.
Ooh.
So who do you claim at that point?
Well, but they do claim all flags, right? So, I mean, how many do you claim? Do you claim all equally?
Yeah.
Like,
so, is there a limit on the number of flags you can claim? Do you claim one more than the other?
And I think that's really dependent on the person. But we kind of just have to be accepting
of what you decide to claim.
Yeah.
Okay. So then how can we become more accepting? I'm not saying like we will solve this and we will make everybody come together, hold hands, kumbaya, sing.
Wait, what happened to one Caribbean?
I'm not saying we're solving that right here tonight, but what can we do?
Why are you selling that shirt?
No.
So we can fix the bus. We can try
fix me.
Hi, guys.
Fix the bus. Fix dividing land.
I have a lot on my plate.
Well, now he has a lot.
Oh, yeah. Now he's backing down. Right? Yeah.
So, yeah. But, like, what can we do? So, let's say, stop fighting like that on Twitter. Right?
You know, I think it's twofold, eh? Because okay. I think, like, people say things and then other people get kind of triggered.
Yeah.
Like, what I saw last week was one of somebody saying, I did. It's one of my friends. You know, at, you know, Crystal, she was basically saying, raise your hand if you actually grew up in the Caribbean island, you're kidding, right?
Yeah.
Then someone responded to her, being triggered about, you know, if you use washboards and if you milk a cow and if you jump a river and cut team, you know, like, you know, that's kind of very disrespectful to people who grew up in the Caribbean.
It is. So it's, I could it's stereotypical.
Yeah, exactly.
Because remember when I asked people to tweet about like regular stereotypes.
Yes, very stereotypical thing.
Yeah.
So I could see, and I know how Caribbean people are, we don't back down for anything. So as you saw, people basically tore her a new one.
Yeah.
Right?
But like, okay.
So, she basically said in like, although she didn't mean to, I'm sure.
Yeah, because she my thing was she joking or did she mean it?
I am
was
not
it like
sure.
An uninformed.
But there wasn't a smiley face at the end and there wasn't a one. So
it's kind of up in the air.
Okay. It's up in the air right now.
Okay.
But, you know, I will say when I spoke to her, she seemed, you know, more apologetic about it. And, you know, we were, like, talking about actual stuff that happened in the Caribbean.
Okay.
So, a lot of times, probably people kind of show out for Twitter, you know.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that they mean the disrespect. But then, when you say things like that, as somebody living in America, grew up in America, to Caribbean parents, you seem very ignorant, very uneducated. And then you just give a reason for Caribbean people actually
but
born
that's
in the
why
Caribbean,
our Caribbean pride
to jump
in.
On you. Yeah. And fight you down.
Because our Caribbean pride will come and let you know, hey, this thing is talking about jumping river and milking cow. Not all of us doing that. And even if we were jumping rivers and eating cane, we actually like eating cane. And maybe we had the most fun jumping the river.
Well, I don't know
so
about
don't try
you,
and talk it down.
But jumping river is like an Olympic sport, all right? If you can't jump river, then you're not even in the conversation.
You're not fit to claim... That island.
And then after you jump river, usually you jump on the side that have the cane. So then you just cut the cane one time, right?
Exactly.
Kill you two birds, one stone.
Yeah. Okay. No. I see what you're saying.
Jump two rivers, one cane. You check it? Yeah, man. You
see what, I see what you're saying.
One of the other things, right, where I think that people who grew up in America in Caribbean communities have over people who grew up in the Caribbean is the entire Caribbean identity versus a national identity.
Ooh, okay.
So what I'm saying is, right, you are from St. Vincent and the Grenadines, right?
Yeah.
Your parents from St. Vincent and the Grenadines. They moved to America. You were born in America, right? And then either you lived in Florida or New York and you grew up on a street that had every single island
represented
on that street, right?
Okay, yeah.
You have access to a lot more culture than a lot of people in the Caribbean that just grew up in the national island, right? Mm-hmm. So if you listen, if you hear reggae and dancehall, you know, my friend Jamaican down the street, I can jam to that. If I hear salsa, you know, merengue, my friends from Cuba, my friends from Dominican Republic, my friends from Puerto Rico down the street, you know, we all consider ourselves to have a strong Caribbean identity. So we all go to these parties and we represent and we show out, you know, and then we have friends from Trinidad and, you know, St. Lucia, Grenada, Antigua, St. Kitts, Guadeloupe, Martinique. You know, all these people that you kind of have access to, you hear their life stories, you talk to their parents, you meet their parents, and you kind of form that one Caribbean identity. And a place that is especially strong is like when you go to school and you're able to join the school CSA.
Yes.
Like you learn a lot, you meet a lot of people. And at that point, you know, you don't even care that, you know, they're like 100 Jamaicans, 5 St. Lucians, 6 Grenadians, 12
Trini. All you know is all of y'all are Caribbean.
Yeah, 50 Haitians. All y'all know is that when y'all go and fit, you're having a good time.
Because all of y'all Caribbean.
Yeah, all of y'all Caribbean.
Yeah. And you make a good point there because, you know, think about it. That's when you see the most, like, you see all islands coming together in a fit. You ever hear when the DJ saying, all the Lucians, you hear all Lucians screaming.
Yeah.
All the Bajans, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really see that in other islands. I don't say it doesn't happen, but I find it happens the most up here in the US
well,
and maybe Canada and expensive.
Well, but I think also when, like at UE and stuff like that, where you actually get a lot of the islands actually coming together, I think that's a young person's, maybe in college, that's their first experience of having all the islands, or at so many islands all together.
I think even UE a little bit different, because in UE, you're still in somebody's home island. Right, so you're in Jamaica, you're in Trinidad, in Barbados, you know. But in America, like everybody, kind of neutral. Like even though you're born in America, like when you meet your island friends, it's a greater connector that
you all are.
You'll have the same struggle, right? You'll have the same struggle, whether it be school, class, the DJ not playing the right music. You'll have the same struggle.
And as you say, struggle. I think another thing, people who are born and raised in the Caribbean don't give Caribbean Americans is the acknowledgement of their struggle.
Exactly.
While the struggle has not necessarily been the same
as yours,
that doesn't mean that it hasn't existed.
Exactly.
Not because I didn't get bitten, not because someone didn't get bitten by mosquitoes, you know, doesn't mean
they didn't face their own struggle.
Vernon has had dengue twice, so he's a little...
I thought you could only get it once.
I blame the two of you all because every time I've had it, you'll force me to go out and drink. So I blame you all.
Well, then you didn't drink enough rum then. Because if you had enough rum in your system, the mosquito would never change. But I think like we as Caribbean nationals born in the Caribbean need to be more aware of the struggle that, you know, because we look at them, we see, you know, oh, you're born in America, you didn't really struggle. But their parents working two jobs each, you know. They have to fight for their citizenship if they were not born there, right? They have to deal with being in a school with nobody that kind of understands their culture, making fun of them, you know.
If they have an accent, somebody making fun of them.
I mean, even this, right? It's also a decision for them to claim their Caribbean heritage. So, one of the videos I'm going to include in the show notes was this Haitian girl. She was born in Haiti. Moved to the US, was raised by Haitian parents, and she went to school in New York, and she was saying there were multiple Haitian, you know, kids going to her school in New York, and they'd be calling them names, right, because they were Haitian. And she just kind of like brushed it off, but there was maybe a boy in her class who they're like, oh, you Haitian, and he's like, I'm not Haitian. And she knew for a fact that he was. So even getting teased for being different, right? It forces people to claim or not claim or fight for that identity. She was even saying that some people like got jumped just for being
different, I mean,
and that's a different struggle that we didn't necessarily have in the, like you there, like it's just
but I mean,
granted
think about
that
it.
That's your
think
identity.
About it. I get what you're saying because look at it. When we went to school, I sure we all altered our accent in some way just to avoid people asking, "What did you say? What's that accent?"
Not me.
No, I did.
If you can't hear my St. Lucian, then you don't deserve to hear my St. Lucian. No, I used to change that.
Yeah.
For the
I
professors,
did.
Yeah. For
yeah,
the
because it, it, yeah. It,
but
it
USF,
I didn't care about my peers, but the professors.
But USF had a lot more Caribbean people than either of our schools.
Yeah. So for me, it saved me more time instead of having to repeat myself. Let me just put on that fake American accent.
I would say it was much easier in Miami, just because a lot of the teachers were not born and raised in Miami themselves. So I had an African teacher, teachers from you know, other Caribbean countries, you know, and it was an experience. But yeah, we have to be aware of that. That is, so what can we say in summary to kind of close this episode off? Like, where are we now on Caribbean, born in Caribbean relations and born in America, made by the Caribbean relations?
One love.
Right.
That is a good song. Right. That is, yes. That is a good idea.
I think, because y'all highlighted something and that really stuck with me, it's not necessarily the person, it's us accepting the person.
Okay.
I think that's a major thing. So we have to find a way to come to terms with, hey, yes, that person may not have been born on our island and, you know, live in our island and whatnot, but some way, somehow, they have a connection to our island and they claim in it. and they're willing to rep our island. So we need to find some way to put aside.
We should appreciate that.
And appreciate it. And also, I feel when they say something that you think is misinformed or ignorant, instead of bashing them, let's take the time and try and educate them. And show them, hey, you know, that's wrong. Maybe it was like that a couple years ago. It's not like that anymore. We progressed. You know, try and educate them so that when they move on from dealing with us and they deal with the next person, they sounding real educated about our islands and they bigging up our islands and giving the correct information.
Because
that's my stance on
it. I think if we're looking at it from a wider perspective, like, we want to have more representation. We want we want to, we're from a very small place, right? You're just talking about the Caribbean as a whole. It's a small place in context to the rest of the world. So the more people that we can unite and spread our culture, spread the right messaging about ourselves, we need to embrace it, right? Because that's more people to collaborate with, more people who understand, you know, your perspective.
More people to just put our islands on the map on the whole.
Exactly.
So when you meet somebody and you tell them, yo, I'm from Bermuda or someplace like that, they will not look at you like what? Like, where you, or you tell them I'm from Trinidad and Tobago, they look at you like, what? Where is that? I've never been there. And then you have to show them on the map, and then they're like, oh, I didn't even know that. And so, you know.
Because I think what you have to give also is the Caribbean parents who moved to these different countries, the US, Canada, Europe, whatever. They were pioneers and probably some of the first ambassadors, really, for the Caribbean in that country. So there is a lot of pride to have there, and that they making it so important that they pass on their culture to their kids, and that second generation is not just a second generation filtered, watered down culture, but a second generation of ambassadors that needs to be educated on the new things that their parents can't necessarily teach them.
True. My take on it, and something I learned last year, is to kind of meet people sometimes where they are, you know, and then kind of basically walk them closer to where you are.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that, you know, people born in America, raised in America, and, you know, claiming Caribbean heritage can maybe start using, insert Caribbean island here, American, Grenadian American, Saint Lucian American, Martinican American, Kitchen American, you know?
Yeah,
and I also think that us in the Caribbean can kind of be more accepting of their struggles, their life, you know? Because everybody has their story to tell, right? And, like, when you bash them, like, you're not doing anybody any good, right?
Yeah, you're not doing anybody at all.
When you bash them on social media and to their face, how they're not Caribbean
enough. You know all that doing is making your island look bad.
Exactly.
Well, and it's taking us away from the wider goal, right? Dividing us.
It's dividing us, because at that point, they're saying, look at that Grenadian, they're fighting that person for no reason.
Because we love it when non-Caribbeans and famous people come to our island and, you know, big up our island, you know.
True.
But, you know, these people kind of over there doing the same thing, you know. They're repping our island hard. So why don't we show them the same love as, you know, if like Ludacris or Drake or Nicki Minaj,
or
you know, like,
you
know, was shouting out a Caribbean island, you know, everybody would be liking it, you know. But when they do it, you know, maybe, like, you know, you feel some kind of way because why you to claim the Caribbean island I'm from, etc. But I think if we kind of meet people halfway, you know, tell them like, hey, I'm willing to admit that you have just as much right to Caribbean culture as I do. If you're willing to admit that our struggles are different, right? Like growing up in the Caribbean island is very different to growing up in America, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I think if we can meet each other, like, meet each other halfway, then we can start that dialogue and everybody can start healing, be a happy family. Because if you as a Caribbean person have to go to America, you're going to be looking for those same people who grew up in America, who rep your country, that you didn't want to allow into your island before, right?
Before we end, though.
And now if you were born in America and you want to move to St. Lucia or Jamaica or Haiti, Grenada, St. Vincent, you know, you want to move back there, maybe just for a summer, maybe just to experience life, your grandparents, like, you're going to be linking up with those people that you just, you know, and said, you know, they live in huts, etc. You know? So I think if we meet in the middle, everybody will be happy. And we can all fit and have a good time.
Yeah, but before we end, you made a comment there, and it really caught my attention. it could be also that, like you said, we in the Caribbean, we want the ones who are outside the Americans claiming the island to acknowledge our struggle. Because we so busy telling them that, yo, your struggle not like ours. And they saying, they telling us about this struggle, but they're not accepting that, hey, they have a struggle too and what our struggle is. So it could be that we get them to accept our struggle as well.
Yeah. I definitely think that those things move with.
It really does.
But I think it's more a matter of education and even having the discussions like this in a non, you know, attacking, kind of you versus me. Mm-hmm.
No prejudices.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No mean slide back and forth.
Yeah. Not trying to just be mean for being mean sake, for likes on social media, you know, to insult each other. Yeah. Like, try and walk a mile in the person's shoes. True. And if you do that, you will get a better understanding of where they're coming from. And they will get a better understanding of where you're coming from.
I mean, although sometimes some people's shoes just look dumb.
But well, on that note, I think this has been a good episode. What do you guys think?
Yeah, productive episode, man.
Yeah, I mean, some people are not going to like it. It's going to be controversial a bit, but you know.
No, I don't think it was that controversial. I think it was a very, you know...
I think our discussions didn't have to be more.
No, but it's not that. I think nonetheless we needed this episode and this topic to kind of set the trend for what we're going for. Because people are asking us, who is our audience? Who are we catering to? And honestly, we just catering to
everybody who identifies
as a Caribbean. I don't care if you born in Germany and you decide you're picking up Martinique as your country. It's for you too. Check it.
You're going a bit far there, but I mean, controversial would be, you know, if you are Caribbean enough, you can whine properly. But if you can't whine, then you're not Caribbean enough. But I'm not going to go there.
That's for another episode. Island can drink more. Anyway,
that's for another episode.
On that note, guys, we have taken your feedback and we've done a lot more extensive show notes for you. So if there's anything kind of in this topic that has piqued your interest, we have a lot more resources, videos kind of on this topic.
Merch!
Real subtle.
Yeah, you know me, King of Subtle.
Just about them. That in there. Merch!
Yeah. Well, you know, there is merchants. You know, with merchandise. Yeah, like t-shirts and cups and stuff, you know. You can really show off your Caribbean millennialness.
Yeah, you know, if you really want to rep, you know, this one Caribbean, you know.
That will get too quick access.
You want to rep the Caribbean millennial movement?
Yeah.
We got you.
Yeah. Studies show that when you wear Caribbean millennial shirt, you're like 55% more likely to be accepted a Caribbean person, you know? Yeah, I mean, don't quote me on them facts, but it's facts.
I don't have to show you the study.
Yeah.
Because I won't.
Yeah. It's no written study, you know? It's word of mouth.
On that note, guys.
It's been real.
Thank you, and see you next week.
Next week, guys.